Welcome back to the Sports View Podcast. I'm Christian.
And I'm Fitz.
Okay, so we got a quick episode for you guys today. We're back after only a couple days. This is the most consistent we've been on this podcast for a while. And make sure you check out Fizz's podcast, the Sports Way podcast. We do much more episodes than that, and we'll like be talking all about like upcoming NBA free agency, because I'm sure things will get pretty hectic. So with that, so make sure you check out that, as we'll talk about all the free agency in the upcoming days. Mm-hmm. But
for sure.
One of the main reasons I wanted to do a podcast on mine is because the Clippers had a huge sign a couple days ago, as we got John Wall. We signed John Wall. Well, I don't know if he's had a contract yet. I know he got bought out by the Rockets, and then he agreed to join the Clippers. I don't think we've given him a contract yet, but we'll see how that goes. So that's just a real big deal for us. And I think, yeah, we still have, and we didn't have to trade for him either. We still have all our good role players. We're still keeping all them. Like, we still have Reggie Jackson. I'm pretty sure we'll keep him. So,
Didn't Zubats agree to an extension?
Oh yeah. Also, we'll talk about that too. The Clippers also signed Ivica Zubac to a 3-year $33 million, which is pretty good. That's like bad. Some good starter money.
11 million a year.
Yeah, that's
not bad money.
Yeah. Especially since like Michael Jordan was making like $4 million per year in like 1995 or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
times have changed.
That's playing baseball.
No, it was in the NBA.
Oh.
Or like in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what year. But, yeah. And, oh, yeah, so we got John Wall. And what's good about this is, obviously, through the teams he's been with, like Washington and the Rockets, he's had to carry, like, the team's load. He's had to be the primary scorer, create most of the offense. And with John Wall on the Clippers, we don't need him to, like, make – we don't need him to like have the pressure of scoring like 25 a night. He just needs to, I think what all Clippers fans want and like what the organization needs from John Wall is we just need him to stay healthy, which obviously has been a problem in his career, but we just need him to stay healthy and give us like 17 a night. That would just be big. But that's going to be another star. The Clippers we got another star. I saw the Draymond Green show. Shout out to that podcast. It's actually you should check it out. It's really good. Draymond Green, we all know Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about like potential teams in the West that could be problems for them. And he said the Clippers, because obviously the Warriors just won a championship and he's looking towards next year. And obviously he said the Clippers. And that was before we got John Wall. So now we got our squad. We got Paul George. We got Kawhi, and now we got John Wall. We're creating our own big three here in LA. So that's real great for the Clippers, and this just makes this season much more exciting. Obviously, last year, it wasn't. I didn't really have high hopes because Kawhi was still like injured, and I knew we weren't gonna like win a championship or anything like that, but. Now we those title aspirations are definitely visible.
I only partly agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you guys signed John Wall. Yes, you guys are gonna be better. Yes, you're gonna do better than you did last year, which is not that hard to do. But I don't know if you guys are championship worthy.
We're a championship caliber team. I'm not saying
okay, that. But like you're not. You're not gonna win the championship this year. Like you're still, you gotta because, well, first and foremost, you got John Wall, new player, new star. You don't know how he's gonna fit in with Kawhi
He
Leonard
doesn't
and
even
Paul
need to
George.
fit in. Even without, if we take Kawhi, I mean, if you take John Wall out of the Clippers, we're still a championship caliber team. So now we are a championship caliber team plus John Wall. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, John, keep in mind, John Wall has only played 40 games in the last 3 years. You don't know what you're going to expect from John Wall. Because you don't know if, like, you don't know how he's going to fit in with your organization.
Yeah, but
you don't know if he's going to be worthy.
All I said in the beginning was all we need is for him to be healthy, and we don't need him to score 25 a night because we already have Kawhi and PG. They're going to do that. So we just need him to see if we can come in and get like 15 from him. He might even come off the bench. I heard some people saying even if he comes off the bench, that would just be helpful for the Clippers. So I'm not saying he'll come off the bench, but it's possible.
I know that.
We don't need
but I mean, you never know with all of this. And, like,
I'm just saying, we're a championship caliber team before John Wall. Now we have John Wall.
You're championship contenders, but there's no way in hell you're going to win the championship this year. Just nothing.
Yeah, there's no why. How are you so? Explain your bold statement.
Well, first and foremost, you guys, first of all.
And don't come talking about the bubble like 3 years ago, because that's
okay.
That doesn't affect.
If you guys had Doc Rivers as your coach, I would have much more reasons for this. But you don't know how he's gonna fit in.
He's not gonna mess up our team.
I know, but check out my podcast, please, Sports Way. We got a ton of things to go like this. A lot about Kevin Durant. You don't know if he's gonna be reliable.
And even if he's not, we're still a championship caliber team. I keep saying this. Even if he doesn't do crap, even if he sits on the sit like is injured somehow for the whole season, we're still a championship caliber team.
Yeah, but you don't know how Kawhi Leonard is going to be after like sitting out for like forever. You don't know.
Okay, you could be like a doubter like that.
Is Paul George going to be the same after his elbow injury? Is he going to come back to the All Star?
He already came back. He already came back and played well. Played well in the playing games. Fits. That you could be a doubter like that, and I'm sure you could be like one of those as like a few years ago when KD got injured a couple years ago. Oh, he's not going to return to the same, blah, blah, blah. When you're an NBA star, most of the time you come back, obviously there's some bumps in the first few games, but even if you look at Klay Thompson, gone 2 years, still averaged 20 per game this season and helped the Warriors won a championship. So when you're an NBA star, you don't lose it just with a snap of a finger. One injury is not going to derail your whole career, usually.
I know, but if you get like you guys did last year,
I'm not worried about Kawhi.
If all your big three is out, you're in trouble. And
okay,
Giannis
is out, if Chris Middleton is out, if Drew Holiday is out, obviously you're going to do bad. So obviously,
I know,
if all our players get injured, but I'm saying we're a title contender, and
okay,
you're saying we're not. So
You also, it's just, you like, I'm also saying this is because you saw the Suns, best team in the league, best team in the regular season, choked in the playoffs. And guess what? I can relate to that. I'm a Bucks fan. Bucks, 2 years in a row, best record in the league. Best record in the regular season. First year, made all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Second year, we got choked by Miami in the bubble. But with the best record in the NBA, that just shows you, if you have the best record, not a championship is not guaranteed. You have to earn it. And a lot of the times, it's too much pressure. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, can you agree we're title contenders?
Yes, but you're not going to win it all.
Okay, so I don't know what this whole argument was about. All I said was we're title contenders. That's all you can hope for with a team. There's no guarantees in basketball at all. I'm not saying we're going to win a championship. I think if all our whole team's healthy, it's going to be pretty hard to beat us. Obviously, I know the Warriors are going to be pretty hard to beat if we get like deep into the playoffs. But I'm not guaranteeing a championship. I just said we were title contenders. Now you're agreeing with me, even though you disagreed with me at the beginning. Okay, anyway, moving on. Good for the Clippers. We got that's some big moves, and we're keeping all our
– When you say it more like that, it makes you – because you just said all their championship contenders without saying, like, what it's about and everything like that.
I don't understand.
Like you just said, the Clippers are championship contenders without really, like, going deeper into, like, how they're championship contenders.
Because they – Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and now they got John Wall, plus everyone around them, and they got Norman Powell. And we saw last year what they were able to do without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and now they're both coming back.
Okay.
So now moving on, we can talk about some trades that have already happened. I think today, two big trades that happened today. So the first one being the Nuggets trading Will Barton and Monte Morris to the Wizards for KCP, Caldwell Pope, and Ish Smith. So what do you think about this trade?
Before I get started with my opinion, if Ish Smith ends up suiting up for the Denver Nuggets or any other team, he would make an NBA record playing for the most teams in NBA history. If he suits up for the Denver Nuggets, that's his 13th team that he's ever played for.
Wait, how many years has he played in the league? At least probably 13, right?
Yeah.
God dang, that's crazy.
I know, probably more.
It's crazy. Okay, let me ask you a question about that. Let's say you're in his position. Would you think that's like a good thing or a bad thing? Because on one side, you'd be like, oh, like that means all these teams want me and like that I'm a good talent. But, or you could look at the other side, like none of these teams like want to keep me. They should get rid of me after 1 year. So how would you take that?
Okay, it's both good and bad.
Yeah.
I say it's good because you get to play for different teams and see like how different teams run. The bad news is like you're thinking, like you just said, oh, what if teams don't want me? What if teams don't like this? Like, what if teams don't like? What are they gonna cut me? What's gonna happen if I leave this team? I'm going to this team now. I'm going to this team now, and like everything like that. It's just like multiple, and it's just going back and forth and everything. Ish Smith was just traded to the Wizards in that Montrezl Harrell deal, Christian. And like he's been like. It's just like he's moving everywhere. Like he's gonna have like 20 houses by the time he retires in all the states and all those cities he's played in.
I guess it would be pretty hard on the player because like even like you make you new gotta relationships move aside. On those
you just
teams.
Got to Washington.
You make new friends, you make new relationships, and then all of a sudden every year it seems like you have to just leave and you have to change it up and go into a new environment every year.
Trevor Ariza is an example. But he didn't play at all this year, or not a lot. So
what do you think of the trade?
I think Denver wins this because you get. I think Denver wins this because you get rid of. You don't have to pay Will Barton. You don't have to pay Monte Morris. And if Ish Smith is going to come in, you don't know whether or not he's going to stay. And so if you get rid of him, then you got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a shooter. He's a champion with the Lakers, and he's a good overall shooter.
And he averaged 16 last year.
Other than that one play where he got rejected by the side of the backboard, but this is good stuff we're talking about. Like he's a good shooter. He's a good role player for Denver in the long run, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what Denver, what they're thinking is, like, they're betting on KCP, like, continuing to play at the level he has, like, especially after last year. He actually did very good, averaged, like, 16 or something per game, which is pretty good. And I agree with you. I don't think they want to pay the two guards. And so
that's the only reason why. Are we talking about money or are we talking about overall? Because money-wise, Denver wins this trade. But overall,
yeah, I'm not exactly sure how much they would have to pay both of those stars.
A lot, because they're both pretty good
players. But yeah, but.
But overall, Washington wins this because yes, Denver has to pay them, but Washington is getting two shooting guard of Monte Morris. You can shoot the basketball and drive it if you need it. Will Barton is a good. He's very, very athletic, and he
good
can shoot
on
the
defense.
Ball when needed. Good on defense as well, and he can shoot and play defense and do what he has to do to make a team win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty good. So that wraps up that one. And then with the big daddy of them all.
Oh my God.
The Hawks getting all star DeJounte Murray from the Spurs for Danilo Gallinari and 3 first round picks. So this is definitely a pretty big trade. DeJounte Murray is one of the rising stars, one of the most underrated players right now. This is actually going to be really interesting to see how this works in Atlanta, because he was definitely the primary ball handler with the Spurs. Yeah. And he was getting a lot of assists. He had a couple triple-doubles this season. But now it's obviously the Trae Young is still going to be the point guard. So now I guess DeJounte Murray is going to probably have to play shooting guard, which is definitely going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of like LeBron James and like Russell Westbrook both, like, because DeJounte Murray and Trae Young both get lots of assists.
So yeah, I know like what you're talking about.
It's like that. Wasn't there a meme when like Russell Westbrook and LeBron James like both have like 9 assists, and it just shows them like passing the ball around or something like that?
Oh, so that's, yeah, it was showing them like they also made a similar one to Ben Simmons, and that one was showing this guy getting double teamed and this guy wide open under the basket, and he acts like he's gonna shoot but just passes it out to the guy who keeps getting double teamed and keeps doing it like 5 times.
Yeah,
so that was pretty funny. And then the LeBron and Russ is one that they keep driving it towards the paint, but instead of acting like they're going to shoot it, they just pass out and, like, just pass back and forth. And then the other one drives into the paint and then pass out. So that was that one.
So, yeah, that's definitely going to be good for the Hawks, another good star, and that's really going to help their backcourt.
Before you ask me, Atlanta wins this deal.
Yeah. Yeah, explain that, because that's very interesting that you'd say that.
Well, they win this deal because you get an all-star in DeJounte Murray. And right now, let me rephrase that. Right now, Atlanta wins this deal. But if you look towards who San Antonio drafts with it, then that, because right now, like today, Atlanta wins this deal because you land DeJounte Murray, an all-star, to pair up with Trae Young. You get rid of Gallinari, who's not really that big of a star. You know that because you played with the Clippers. And he's not that big of a star. So getting rid of him and bringing in an all-star like DeJounte Murray, that's huge. It's huge for Atlanta. It's huge for Atlanta, in my opinion. Because you're bringing in a star who's you're bringing in a star from San Antonio who you don't know how he's going to play. You're bringing in a star from San Antonio, and you know he's all-star caliber level. But now you're bringing it – now, but you give away 3 first-round picks to San Antonio, and who knows what San Antonio is going to do with them. If you at least get – if you get 2 good players out of those 3 picks, then you'll be like, okay – that was good. San Antonio wins this trade because you got some pretty good players out of it. But right now, it looks like Atlanta wins this deal because you get an all-star in DeJounte Murray, and you don't know what San Antonio is going to do with those picks. So that's my opinion on it.
I'd say it's
it could go either way in the long run.
A win-win for both teams. I think Atlanta, they're at their point. They're with their organization where they're in win-now mode. They believe they can win a championship. Obviously, we saw they had – they showed some potential in the playoffs as they made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. But and they came off a pretty rough season this year, but now they're in win-now mode. And the Spurs, like we talked about a couple years ago on one of the podcasts, just like how when James Harden walked out the door with Houston, this is the same thing with DeJounte Murray walking out of the Spurs. Both teams are going instantly into rebuild mode. Well, that's what happened with the Rockets. They went into instant rebuild mode once Harden is out the door, and that's what the Spurs are doing here. Because I think they understand they don't really have enough like pieces around DeJounte Murray to be a title contender or have much playoff hopes in the next couple years. And so they're looking to their future, getting more draft capital. Obviously, they could make trades with all these picks, try to get some other players, but I think it's wise for them just to try to build their organization back from the ground up because, as we've seen with the Warriors, they weren't the best team in the early, like, 2000s or whatever, but they started drafting really good, really well, and all of a sudden they're the best team in the NBA. And it also, this is very interesting because it seems like in the NBA – teams always go up and down because I think this is pretty obvious, but like the Spurs obviously dominated like the early 2000s, had a couple championships, Tim Duncan, all that stuff, and they were in win now mode then. But now after like all those retired, now they're starting to be like a bottom tier team. And that's just what happens in the NBA. Teams go into win now mode, like they get all those players, they make trades for better players, and then after a couple years, like 5 to 10 years, not well, probably more than that, like 10 to 15 years, usually those teams are end up being one of the worst teams. Like even like, if you look at the Chicago Bulls, like their dynasty, after their dynasty, like
the Chicago they had the worst Bulls, downfall. They had the worst downfall in NBA history because yes. You go from the best team in the NBA to like one of the worst teams ever.
So, yeah, that's just one thing I've noticed, but it's probably pretty obvious, but yeah. Okay, moving on. Also, Danilo Gallinari is a pretty good shooter, so we're not going
to leave him out. And San Antonio had one good year after Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili departed, and then they've just never been good. Kawhi didn't really do much in that one the season that he
– Well, he won a finals MVP.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that wasn't the season that he left. The season that he left, he only played 9 games.
I think he got hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt a lot of the year, just like this year. And they didn't win. But, I mean, they were on a streak for like 22 years where they made the playoffs straight. And now they're on a streak with not making it for 3 years after that 22 years.
Yep.
And it's the only 3 times Greg Popovich has missed the playoffs as the coach, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I expect him to probably retire in the next couple of years because they're probably going to want a new face of the franchise to help, like, rebuild the
team. Yeah, for sure. The younger face.
Yep. Okay, now we'll talk about, like, what's his name? The baseball guy.
Crap, the baseball guy.
1 second.
Baseball guy?
On the Dodgers. Here, I need to look him up.
Trevor Bauer?
No. Okay, let me look it up.
Freddie Freeman?
Yeah, Freddie Freeman. He returned to Atlanta, and he was crying a lot.
He got his World Series ring.
Got his World Series ring. He was crying a lot. He was like isolating from the team a little bit. Well, in the Dodgers, picture, at least, yeah. And I bet like, in the press conferences, he was like 12 crying years a lot.
There. Spent 12 years there, and brought him a World Series.
Yeah, and he also fired his agent because I guess he thought he did a bad job with making and guess like, what? Going to the Dodgers and stuff.
Yeah, guess what? His first home run as a Dodger was against the Braves.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty sweet to say. You leave the team that you've been on your first 12 years, and then the first time you play them, that's the team you get your first home run on your new team against. Like that's pretty sweet to say.
Yeah,
that's in my opinion. So
with all like this publicity that he's getting with like all like crying and firing his agent.
Okay, maybe that's a little over.
If you were a Dodger, like, how would you feel about this? Because it seems like he's, like, in his zone right now, at least when he went to Atlanta. Like, he wishes he was still a Brave, even though he's still on the Dodgers and they're a title, a World Series contending team. So, like, how would you feel? Or how do you think this looks onto the Dodgers organization?
I don't think it looks bad or good. I don't think it looks good or bad on the Dodgers. I think it looks like medium, just mediocre. But You mean you don't blame him? He's got emotions. Spent 12 years in Atlanta and brought him a World Series championship. Like, and he's done so much for the city. City's done so much for him. So you can't, excuse me. You can't blame him for crying. Like, that's just part of it. Like, the team that you spent your, like, that you gave your heart. And there's a difference between crying when you return and not crying when you return. Crying is like, okay, I was there. Thank you so much for welcoming me back. Crying when you return is I gave everything I have to this organization. And then when I left, they appreciate me for it.
Yeah, but also he was getting choked up like as he was like getting a standing ovation from the crowd. But then also in the interviews, he couldn't stop crying.
Yeah, that's good.
So it wasn't just a few tears. It was like constant.
Yeah, but he also got his World Series ring. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that plays any part in it.
Well, yeah, but even in the press conference, he said it's not just about the ring. It's about, like, the team and, like, all the memories and stuff. So, like,
yeah. I mean, when you're with the team, there's a ton of memories you can make in 12 years, Christian.
I understand that, but he's on a good team right now. And so, like, he can't be – so, like, if I was, like, the Dodgers, I'd be concerned that he's, like, this worried about, like, the past. He needs to be focused on the present because the team has goals of like winning World Series.
Excuse me.
He can't be like grunt, like disappointed that he's stuck with the Dodgers.
This is his way to do. Like, I'm just saying, like, he's put everything he has into the Braves organization, and now I would think it's like a thing. Like when you go, like if I were to let's say I were to play 12 years with the Milwaukee Bucks and I win two championships there, and then I come back and then I sign with Phoenix and I come back to Milwaukee, and like you just like it's you get ovations, it becomes emotional because you spend so much time there and you give everything you have into the organization, and you do want to separate yourself a little bit. Because, like, maybe to, like, talk to your old teammates and, like, do whatever.
Yeah.
You know? That's my opinion of it. So I don't think it's – I mean, firing his agent, I don't know what that had to go with anything, but –
because I don't think he liked the decision, like, the way it all transpired. Obviously, he's the player. He has the say in, like, where he goes to. But I don't think – in my opinion, I don't think it was like he was advised well, because what I heard is he got paid a lot of money to be into the Dodgers. I'm not exactly sure how much money it was, but when you actually look at it, he got paid more than what the Braves were offering him. But if you actually look at it, he was actually getting paid less, because in California, like, there's like a bigger like state income tax. So that means the state was like taking away more money than they do, I guess, in Georgia. So he's actually getting more money taken away and being with the Dodgers than being with the Braves. So even though the Braves offered him less money, he was actually keeping less money with the Dodgers because the state taxes take away more. So I just don't think he – I think he, especially going back to Atlanta, I think he somewhat regretted his decision to leave. But obviously –
maybe.
He's stuck but, I mean, with the Dodgers.
And you're with a ton of – you're with a new team now, and I think it's going great.
Yeah.
Because well, now we'll you're – I mean, you're championship contenders. Yes, you should – yes, you if you regret leaving, okay. But in some respects, I think he overreacted a little bit with that because
– yeah, that's what
you
I was
have,
saying.
I don't think – just crying everywhere, like crying when they start clapping for you, that's totally normal. But crying in an interview, that's not normal.
The whole time, pretty much, he's crying pretty much the whole interview.
And like when you're crying, getting your World Series ring and like everything else, and like getting an ovation for the team that you gave your heart and soul into, no shame in that. But when you're crying during an interview, that's a little embarrassing.
Especially when you're playing,
he's a grown man. Team. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about and everything like that.
Yeah, there's two sides to it.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Oh. Okay, so now we'll move on with that. And just a quick little things that we don't need to talk a ton about, but, like, Harden declined his $47.3 million option.
He's
so I'm
stupid.
not I'm, I and it says he will become a free agent on Wednesday, so we might see Harden on a different team.
He's stupid. That Joel Embiid Harden duo is working fine.
Yeah. And then
fine.
And then also, well, not in the playoffs it didn't, but we've talked about that already.
Yeah.
And then Wizard star Bradley Beal declines his $36.4 million.
That is huge. Was that this podcast or my podcast where we talked about maybe Bradley Beal going to the Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah, so this could be a pretty big offseason with a couple of stars switching teams.
Yeah,
and then
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think he'll go to Portland, if anything, because he wants out of Washington, and Damian Lillard wants out of Portland, but Damian Lillard is actually loyal to the city. And I think Bradley Beal is going to be like, hey, damn, if you won't leave Portland, let's team up together. They might be like, okay, and then Bradley Beal signs with Portland.
Yeah.
That's all in my opinion there is to it. So.
And then I think the last thing we'll talk about, have you heard of Amani Bates? You know him, right?
Yeah, he's transferring to Eastern Michigan.
Yep. Yeah,
why?
So that's going to be tougher, his road to the NBA, because he was the number one recruit coming out of high school. He struggled at Memphis.
They compared him to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he didn't have the year he wanted, and now he's going to some small school. He's going to have to try to resurrect his career.
Yeah. He may play there for a year and then come back to playing like regularly.
Yeah, so I guess it didn't work out. Now it's going to be much harder for his road to the NBA.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everybody has their own story.
Yeah. Still possibly. Got to, fight through it, I guess, whatever. Then probably the last topic here. I know you're not too happy about this, but Bobby Portis declined
his
$4.6 million option. Fitz, thoughts? This one is close to home, I'm sure.
Oh my god. And it's just like let me just put this straight. He loves Milwaukee and Milwaukee is in love with him. Okay?
Do they want to marry him?
Maybe. If they chant Bobby at the games, they definitely do. But my point is that yes, they're not paying him enough. But if you could always re-sign him to another deal, he declines out of it, you pay him more.
I guess. Do you know how much longer Giannis's contract is, though?
He signed a super max, 5 years, $228 million.
How long ago was that?
December 2020.
Okay. I think
so
maybe rather hesitant to re-sign
The championship.
They know they're going to have to re-sign Giannis soon.
The championship year was his first year. This year was his second year. Next year, this upcoming season, 22-23, is his third year, and then so on and so forth. So
and then after his fourth year, he'll probably get a new deal, too.
He'll be a free agent when me and you graduate high school.
Well, he'll get re-signed before he's a free agent.
Well, that's when his contract right now expires.
Yeah. Well, usually what happens is with all this player option stuff is usually like,
I'm pretty sure they
get signed before the last year of their contract. Because
we said on mine yesterday, we were talking about it, and we said Bobby Portis is player option.
Mm-hmm.
And all these – and James Harden was player option and, like, PO. And we're like, what does that mean? And then I said, oh, it's player option. So, like, all these players are on player option, and it's whether –
they
say player option
like the
means,
last year of their contract.
No, it means like they're getting offered something, and whether they're gonna
if
they sign, then they're on the team. If they don't sign, if they reject it, then they're a free agent.
No, that's actually not it, because it has to do with like the last year of their contract. Because like Bobby Portis, he got signed to a 2 year $9 million contract like a year ago, and he played 1 year of it, so he has one more year in his contract, which would be this coming year, which gives him four.
He declined it.
$4.something million, and he declined it. So he's going to be a free agent, even though he still has one more year on his contract. Because I guess in the NBA it works out. So like, Even though it says like 5 years, they're only really going to be there. They only could be there for like 4 years, and then they could be a free agent.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So,
but I think I heard this on I heard this actually on the what's it called, the Taylor, no, it was God damn it, who's the tight end for the Niners? How am I blanking his name? Oh, George Kittle. Okay, I heard on his podcast. Oh, or the one he was God. On or something. No, I think he was on Taylor Lewan's podcast. I forgot. He did a podcast with Taylor Lewan.
It was probably on Draymond Green's podcast, if anything.
And he was talking about, like, Deebo Samuel because, you know, Deebo's there's some contract drama with him. And Deebo and Jimmy are going to leave. He might not get paid as much as he wants. Yeah, we'll see about that. And then
Deebo's
that's
going to
be an interesting offseason.
There's no doubt about that. Deebo's, yeah. Like, he said, F it. And, like, I'm going somewhere else.
But what I heard from what George Kittle said makes a lot of sense, especially with this Bobby Portis. I can see how he's thinking, because he said, which is very true, is like, especially with all these pro athletes, you only have a certain window where you can, like, where your career is and you can make all this money. So mm-hmm. when you're in the prime of your career, you need to, like, get as much money as possible, because you don't know how much longer your career could be, because it can be over in a flash. One injury could ruin it. So I think this is definitely what Bobby Portis is thinking, because I think he wants mm-hmm. to go out, make as much money as he can, because while 4 point whatever million is a lot of money for, like, us and stuff, like, he knows he's worth way more, and other teams are going to be willing to pay him way more than that. So he's going to go and get squeezed
as
much.
That's what's making me scared, is that somebody else is going to sign him and he's going to become a superstar. We had the chance. It's like Phoenix Suns a couple years ago. So they had all these good people, and then, like, they had all these they had Goran Dragic and everybody, Eric Bledsoe, and then they leave. TJ Warren, and then they leave, and then they go somewhere else.
Yeah. So with all these pro athletes, they're trying to squeeze as much out
of
it.
They're trying to get money. That's it. They're trying to get money as well.
Yeah, because as a pro athlete, like, if to have a 10-year career in any sport is a big deal. And so that 10 years as a pro athlete, even though it's like $4 million per year or whatever, that's supposed to last you pretty much your whole life, because after this, usually most players don't, like, have any jobs after. So that's
some
why
broadcasting and, like,
some
analysts.
Do, but that's, like, the big stars, and, like, some of the guys that aren't as big and aren't as able to do that, they need to get as much money as they can, because this is basically their retirement money. So yeah, that's what Bobby Portis is doing.
We'll see.
How it works out.
I'm nervous because
we'll let you announce the trade once it happens.
I know that's not something I want to announce. All right, well, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it for the podcast. Thank you, Fitz, for being on it.
Mm-hmm. As always.
Yep, and that's it. I'm Christian,
and I'm Fitz.
Peace.